They're just not buying it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke, in for Scott Jagow. The government is out with retail sales figures for December. You knew they would be bad. Wall Street knew they'd be bad, just not this bad. A 2.7% plunge was more than double what analysts predicted. And in a retail economy like ours, that's ugly. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 are down more than 2%. The Dow off 181 points, NASDAQ down 34, S&P 500 down 22 points. Asian markets were up slightly today, but major European markets have fallen hard, down about 4% after Germany's Deutsche Bank said it lost more than $6 billion in the fourth quarter. Banks are also a sore spot here in the States. It doesn't look good that Citigroup has already received a government bailout and it's still having to sell off assets to stay afloat. Late yesterday, Citigroup announced it is spinning off its Smith Barney brokerage to merge with Morgan Stanley. This deal gives Citi $2.7 billion in cash. And Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports Citigroup may be doing a lot more shedding in the coming days.
Citigroup is expected to report a huge fourth quarter loss next week, possibly $10 billion. When it does, Citi could announce plans to shrink down to its core. That may mean selling off its consumer finance services, private label credit cards, and an insurance arm. Peter Hahn of the Cass Business School says the way this is unfolding shows time is not on Citi's side.
For Citi, it's probably not a choice of waiting or can it do it now. It needs to get on and focus on what it does best. And if it's going to shed some businesses now, it's going to try and get the best price it can. But that's what it has to do.
The urgency for action is coming in part from Citi's new chief investor, the United States government. Washington has injected $45 billion into Citigroup since October.
I think the government has said the money's going in. What are you doing about it? Don't just keep doing the same thing.
A slimmed-down Citigroup may look like it did when it was called Citicorp, sending one of the world's largest banks right back to where it was in 1998. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
In other famous banks, Bank of America recently bought Merrill Lynch. Now BOA has sent a memo to employees saying it will call its securities brokerage business Merrill Lynch Wealth Management, and it will keep the famous logo of the Merrill Lynch bull. Perhaps for nostalgia, perhaps in hopes of better times to come. This is the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, January 14th at marketplace.org. Chrysler may be borrowing a page from the Citigroup playbook and trying to sell off pieces of itself to raise cash. There are published reports the U.S. carmaker has been talking to Renault-Nissan. Stephen Beard has been looking into that from the Marketplace European desk.
Renault-Nissan denies that it's talking with Chrysler, but there's no denying the Detroit automaker is under pressure to sell off assets. The company's been required to restructure after a $4 billion bailout loan from the U.S. government. Reuters reports that Chrysler is now trying to sell, among other things, its Jeep division. David Bailey is an auto industry expert at the Birmingham Business School.
We're going to see a major restructuring in the world auto industry over the next few years, really. Bigger companies will survive. They may well gobble up the assets of some weaker companies.
Chrysler has talked asset sales with Renault-Nissan in the past. The U.S. automaker is also reported to be trying to sell an assembly plant in Illinois to Canadian auto supplier Magna. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The House of Representatives will try to hand the incoming president an early victory today by expanding the state children's health insurance program, better known as SCHIP. President Bush twice vetoed previous congressional bills to make 4 million more low-income children and pregnant mothers eligible for government health insurance. President-elect Obama says he will sign it, but John Dimsdale reports Washington does not have the final say on the expansion.
SCHIP is run by the states, and they have to put up some of their own money before they can receive federal dollars. State revenues are way down in this economy, and governors will be hard-pressed to find the resources to expand health benefits for children. Oregon Governor Ted Kulongoski has proposed raising taxes on health care providers to come up with the money.
There's a revenue source under the provider tax of hospitals and insurers. We have utilized them for a number of years as the funding source for the match, and we're going to do it again.
To pay for expanding the federal SCHIP program, the bill's supporters want to hike tobacco taxes. Some Republicans call that a budget gimmick, since higher taxes will mean fewer cigarette sales and therefore less revenue. But Colorado Democrat Diana DeGette, a leading House sponsor of SCHIP, says that's fine by her.
I would be happy for the day when we have to find another source of revenue because we have decreased smoking.
The Senate hasn't decided when to take up SCHIP expansion, although leaders say they want to get it to the new president's desk early in his administration. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
As the economy sinks deeper into recession, many of the nation's small businesses are struggling to find credit and stay open. Recent changes to a popular government loan program are not helping matters, especially for firms owned by women and minorities. From Washington, Ronnie Radbill reports.
Gay Guin runs the consulting firm Strategies for Success. She says Washington area small business owners are strapped.
In the past year, I've seen 8 small businesses close down for lack of business and lack of funding.
Recent changes to a popular Small Business Administration loan program aren't helping. The program lends business people small amounts of cash quickly and mainly without collateral. This pilot effort has been up and running for a decade. The Community Express Loan Program originally targeted women and minority-owned small businesses, but because of legal concerns, the program was broadened to include any small business owner who set up in a poorer area. Wisconsin Congresswoman Gwen Moore is on the House Small Business Committee.
The consequences of that is that I could be a very wealthy person and set up a business in an inner city community and receive SBA services ahead of a disadvantaged minority or woman.
Meanwhile, lenders who work with the SBA are hitting the cap on the number of loans they can make because of increased demand for capital. Congress set a financial limit when they kicked off the pilot program. Eric Zarnikow is with SBA's Office of Capital Access.
Until we're sure that the program is right, that it's really serving and protecting the borrowers, we're not in a position to go ask Congress to lift the cap.
But Congresswoman Moore says it's been a successful program and lawmakers would like to make it permanent. Since 1999, the SBA has given out more than 36,000 Community Express loans worth about $1 billion. She adds, until more cash makes it to the local level, the economy won't recover.
There is not a politician who has ever been elected to any office who won't tell you that small business is not the engine of our economy.
Meantime, as the economy sputters, many small business owners are tapping into their personal savings and running up credit card debt, whatever it takes to stay afloat. In Washington, I'm Ronnie Radbill for Marketplace.
If you think you might ever be chosen to run the U.S. Treasury Department, might I suggest paying all your taxes? Barack Obama's Treasury Secretary choice, Timothy Geithner, will have to explain to senators how he failed to pay $34,000 of self-employment taxes to the IRS several years ago. Meanwhile, Obama's pick for Transportation Secretary is in the spotlight for different reasons. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton has that.
Obama's nomination to head the $70 billion Transportation Department is one of the few Republicans invited to be part of his team. Former Illinois Congressman Ray LaHood will oversee Obama's plans to rebuild the nation's infrastructure and curb transportation's contribution to global warming. His experience in transportation issues may be lacking, but Robert Puentes with the nonprofit Brookings Institution says that may be an asset.
We know that there aren't really transportation-only solutions to transportation challenges, so you do want somebody who has a broad perspective on these issues.
He says transportation touches on just about every issue, from energy to housing to economic growth. And this is where LaHood's bipartisan record may come in handy. Puentes says the Transportation Department LaHood is inheriting is still largely focused on building highways. And changing that mission isn't going to happen without solid backing from Democrats and Republicans. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Building highways and infrastructure are key parts of President-elect Obama's economic stimulus plan. Details of that stimulus are still being worked out. Commentator Will Wilkinson says some of those details bear a much closer look.
Last week in his big economic stimulus speech, President-elect Barack Obama promised less waste in a sunny new climate of transparency. Obama says we'll invest in what works. This week we're asking, so what works? The simplest stimulus plan is a temporary cut in the Social Security payroll tax. This would leave workers with more take-home pay and reduce employment costs, at once boosting consumer spending and encouraging jobs. It can be enacted with the stroke of a pen and just as swiftly reversed. This kind of targeted tax cut works better than an influx of government spending to lift an economy from recession. While he did call for some tax cuts, Obama pushed even harder for massive new public infrastructure spending, which is very complicated and not at all quick. Maybe it's a good idea in the longer run, but it's just too slow to work as stimulus. And it's worse than won't work. New roads, bridges, and electric grids require the government to sign thousands of contracts and cut thousands of checks. Now think about the missing billions in Iraq. Big-ticket government contracting is just the kind of process where political corruption thrives, where regulatory oversight fails, especially if we're going for speed. If infrastructure is worth doing, it's worth doing smartly, deliberately, and with scrupulous oversight. Lord knows we need more transparency and less graft, but some policies, like the payroll tax cut, are easily and transparently administered. Others, like blitzkrieg infrastructure spending, create the dark institutional mazes where Halliburton scurry and thrive. Maybe Obama does want to let the sunshine in, but little on his policy wish list really works as stimulus. Trying to push it all through under the cover of crisis threatens to leave already abused taxpayers holding another whopping bill.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. One way the government will not fix our financial mess is by grounding the jets of bank executives. When the House passed its bank bailout bill, it decreed that executives of these troubled banks give up the privilege of owning or leasing private aircraft. But a lot of those jets are made in Kansas. Kansas lawmakers complained, and the rule has been lifted. The Dow is down 168 at 8,279. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.